All-knowing God, you have satisfied our hunger at sunset and held us close through nights of wrestling. Now let the day break with your blessing. Awaken and illumine us by your word so that we might behold your likeness. The first scripture reading is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 9 through 13 and 22 through 30. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, the mothers with the children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. So he spent that night there, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of the joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. Then the man said, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, for I have seen God face to face, yet my life is preserved.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the gospel as Mark recorded it, chapter 14. They, meaning Jesus and his disciples, went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake. And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
What's in a name? We're returning this week to the Hebrew scriptures, where names and their meanings are a whole additional layer to the story. We've heard about the first human beings, dirt and life, also known as Adam and Eve. We've heard about Abraham and Sarah, ancestor of multitudes, and his wife, Queen, and their son, Laughter. Or Isaac. This week we're hearing a story about Isaac's kids. He and his wife Rebecca had twin sons. The firstborn was all big and red and hairy, and the second was none of those things. The boys struggled with each other in their mother's womb, and the second son was born still holding on to his brother's heel. Rebecca named them Esau, or Hairy, and Jacob, literally heel. We'll see how these boys lived up to their names. As they grew up, Esau was his father's favorite. He was an outdoorsman, a mighty hunter. While Jacob stayed indoors and was his mother's favorite. Before written wills were a thing, the firstborn son was the primary heir. Daughters got dowries, and second sons might get a little bit, but they were mostly on their own. Jacob tricked Esau into giving him his birthright, meaning the status of eldest son and the inheritance. He then tricked his father, Isaac, almost on Isaac's deathbed, into thinking that he, Jacob, was Esau, and giving him the blessing for the eldest son. That blessing ends with the words, "May the nations serve you. May the nations bow down to you. Be the most powerful man among your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Those who curse you will be cursed, and those who bless you will be blessed." Jacob stole that blessing from his brother. Isaac couldn't take it back and give that blessing to Esau, the son whom he'd intended to give it to. You see what I mean about the heel living up to that name. After Isaac's death, Rebekah, Esau and Jacob's mother, knew that Esau planned to kill Jacob as soon as the traditional mourning period was over. So before that time was up, she sent Jacob to go live with her brother. Now Jacob had some adventures there over the course of about 20 years. He got two wives, sisters, but he had to get them from a master at cheating people in business deals. Jacob's father-in-law cheated him, and Jacob cheated him right back. If the story of the interaction between these two men is not taught in business school, it ought to be. At least it's a cautionary tale about the sharks that are out there. But now Jacob is coming back home with his wives and children, with flocks and herds of livestock that he had essentially tricked his father-in-law out of, and with a crowd of people who are part of his household or work for the household. Jacob expects that Esau will still be angry 20 years later. He sends an entire herd of goats ahead of him as a gift for his brother. He's about to cross the river into the land that God had promised Abraham, and he's met by what the scriptures call a man. They struggle with each other all night, and eventually the man hits Jacob and puts his hip out of joint. The man tells Jacob, heel, that his name won't be Jacob anymore. It will be Israel, which means God strives or God struggles. This is because Jacob had struggled with human beings and with God and has prevailed. And the man blesses him. Up to this point, we don't know who this man is. Is he Esau? Is he some stranger? Is he an angel? But then the man, whose name is now Israel, names the place Peniel, literally face of God. He says that he has seen the face of God there and survived. That tells us that the man he wrestled with was God. Has anybody here ever struggled with God? I know I have. I suspect many of us have. Even Jesus struggled with God's will in Gethsemane. And he is God. I suspect that for many of the people who have never struggled with God, it's because they never stepped in the ring. They never considered the idea that God would want anything different from what they want. Some of these people are the loudest out there about God and about what God wants in the world. As Anne Lamott said, you can safely assume you've created God in your own image when it turns out that God hates all the same people you do. I'll unpack that a little. If you know someone who is perfectly aligned with what they see as God's will in the world, and they don't see themselves as ever sinning, and they see God as hating all the same people whom they hate, step away from that person. Move away from them. This is a form of idolatry that is common to preachers and pundits, and it's very dangerous. Because the truth is that this person is not worshiping God at all. They're worshiping themselves and calling it God. For all their religious language, they tend not to be very close at all to God or what God wants to see in the world. God's very clear about what God wants from us, but that does not always make it easy. Yes, Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden light. But if you read that in context, it's all about how the world was not accepting him or what he had to say. When he said that, Jesus was frustrated about how difficult people seemed to find his message. I mean, what's so difficult about happy are people who are hopeless because the kingdom of heaven is theirs? Happy are people who grieve because they will be made glad. Happy are people who are humble because they will inherit the earth. Happy are people who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness because they will be fed until they're full. Happy are people who show mercy because they will receive mercy. Happy are people who have pure hearts because they will see God. Happy are people who make peace because they'll be called God's children. Happy are people whose lives are harassed because they're righteous, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. You should be happy when people insult you and harass you and speak all kinds of bad and false things about you, all because of Jesus. Be full of joy and glad because you have a great reward in heaven. In the same way, people harass the prophets who came before you. What's so difficult about love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, right? Jesus does all of these things. He prays for the Father to forgive the people who are crucifying him, even as they're doing it. If you find these things difficult, then I have some good news for you. You're not alone. These things are difficult, but God calls on us to do them anyway, and they're worth it. Every saint you've ever heard of struggled with these things. Whether you're thinking of St. Francis or Mother Teresa or Billy Graham, they all struggled with these things, and they kept struggling, even when it was too much for them. They came back the next day. And like Jacob, they found that God blessed them. If you're struggling with God's call in your life and what God is calling you to do, then let me point out to you the books of Job and the Psalms. Job says whatever he likes to God. It gets away with it. The Psalms demonstrate every human emotion there is. And they're the original hymn book. Whatever you feel at throwing at God, God can take it. And God will still love you. As Philip Yancey pointed out, as often as not, spiritual giants of the Bible are shown contending with God. They prefer to go away limping, like Jacob, rather than to shut God out. If you're struggling with understanding what God wants you to do, that doesn't make you bad. That makes you honest. Keep at it. Keep struggling. Maybe ask others for help. I can't promise that you'll win your struggles with God. My own win-loss ratio isn't very good. But if you're struggling with God, then you're being faithful to God and to what God wants you to be doing in the world. And just like God blessed Jacob, God will bless you. The name Israel is not just the name of a man in Genesis 32. Israel, or God's struggles, becomes the name of God's people who are descended from him, the family tree onto which we as Christians have been grafted. We're supposed to struggle, to wrestle with God. God can take it, and God blesses those who take seriously what God says and wrestle with it in their lives. Thank God. Amen.